Worshipping today, I was reminded of just the joy and the honor of just being in his presence. For that's where we are today. We are in his presence. And just that alone should just fill us with joy that God chooses to reside with us. That should just fill us with joy that he chooses to. It's not that he wants to, it's that he chooses to be here. Well, anyway, good morning, church. My name is Paul Briggs. Some of you know who I am, some of you don't. My wife, Sina, and I, we run the children and the family ministry downstairs. So, which chapter are we talking about today? Does anyone remember? Who's been following the story? 10, I heard 10 over there. Last week, Christine did an awesome message on Luke chapter 9. It's awesome to be in a church where females are allowed to preach. It doesn't happen everywhere, is it? Where we celebrate people's callings, because we all have different callings. Can you imagine church filled with women? Can you imagine a church filled with men? None of us will probably come with our shoes on. And it shows that we all created different, but yet we all have the same Lord. We all serve the same Lord. And it says in the Bible that we shall use our calling according to our gifting. So how he's called us, that's how we should use our calling. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, God can still use you in awesome ways. There are such a thing as female pastors. And so females can be used. So we're going to talk about chapter 10 today. So have you done your homework? Has anyone read the scripture before coming? Anyone? One hand? Brilliant. Thank you, Pastor. Moral support. Good. So that means no one brought scorecards. And if you did, 10 out of 10 is the correct answer. So if you have done your reading, if you did know a bit about this chapter, you'll know that this chapter is split into three parts. And the main theme of this entire chapter is asking the question, what on earth does a Christian do? So what do we do? What is our purpose? The section is split into three parts. The first section talks about the 70, about us being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And the second section talks about the Samaritan. And this shows that we also have neighbours that we're supposed to show mercy to. And the third part is about Mary and Martha. And this final story shows that even though we're meant to be neighbours and ambassadors, we are first called to be worshippers of Jesus. So after hearing the children speak today, because we will follow on from them, who knows what we're talking about today? Is it A, the 70? Is it B? No, it's A. We all knew that, right? Now, one thing before we carry on. People argue about whether or not it was 70 or 72.
Who cares?
Who cares? Well, I kind of believe that everything's in the Bible for a reason, so I believe there is a point, but we'll get to that later on. Before we do, how about we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for your presence, Father. We thank you that you are here with us, Father, and I just pray, Lord God, that whatever it is you want to speak to us today, we will have ears to hear, Father. So I pray that your presence just keeps staying upon us, Lord God, and bless the message as it's shared, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we really get into it, let's do a little bit of background work on the book of Luke. Now, Luke was a doctor. He was a very well-educated man. And he wrote the Gospels. And it was summed up in the first four verses. Now, we're not going to read the entire four verses, but we will just highlight two things. And the first line we will highlight, just clip over, please, is just verse one. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Now, the word fulfilled emphasizes why Luke wrote this gospel. For Luke, the story of Jesus isn't just ancient history, but he wanted to show you how the story of Jesus fulfills the story of God, Israel, and even the whole earth. And the second point, just next slide, please. Verse 3, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, which is from verse 3. Luke is like a detective. and he is investigating what I have already said about how the whole point of what Luke is trying to do is that he wanted to show how the story of Jesus fulfills the story of God and Israel and the whole earth. And that's the whole point of the book of Luke. This is what he's trying to do. So Luke is trying to prove that the whole earth in Israel's history is fulfilled in the life and what Jesus Christ did. Luke does this by proving who Jesus is, his identity, his mission, and this section, the fulfillment that the followers find in Christ, which is what we're talking about today. Now, before Roshan reads this section, I want you to take special note of the words, of the first two words of this chapter, of this verse, is after this. This is because this chapter is a continuance, it's a follow-on from chapter 9. And as you know from last week, chapter 9 left us knowing the cost of following Jesus, the cost of being his disciples. So after Jesus shared the story of how much it's going to cost, he then sends them out. So Roshan.
Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 24. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even when the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Here, thank, here ends the ring. Thanks to be to God.
Cool. Thanks, Roshan. 2 weeks ago, it took me half an hour to read three verses. So sit back, church. It could be the best 6 hours of your life. Anne's got the right idea. She's got, brought a pillow. Now, the story is unique to the Gospel of Luke. In Matthew, in Mark, and in John, it doesn't add the story. So this story is completely unique to Luke. And if you were to compare this to when he sends out his 12 apostles, you will find many similarities. And this doesn't surprise us because it's the same Lord, same person sending out the 12 who sent out the 70. So he gave them the same kind of instructions. But before we do carry on with this passage, there is one question that comes to mind. Who are these 70? Where do they come from? Because wherever you look in commentaries and so forth, they don't really tell us clearly who these 70 are. And for me, that's kind of the point, because they're just Joe average people. They're just normal people off the street, just like you and I, just normal people. People who go to work, pay their taxes, look after their kids, just like you and me, normal people. But Luke 9:11 says this, but the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, healed those who needed healing. Now, we don't know who they were, but we do know that people followed him. People followed Jesus wherever he went. Which, again, is exactly what we do. We are following Jesus. We are followers of Christ. In our own way and with our own understanding, we are following Jesus. We are just like the 70. So it is important for us to walk as closely with God as you can. Now, the Gospel of Luke portrays following Jesus as a journey where you learn as you go. And this is exactly what following Jesus is like. Because you don't start the journey knowing everything, but you know as you grow, you learn as you grow. So let's start our chapter for today, Luke 10:1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him. The Lord appointed them and sent them. So these men were not called apostles. They weren't called apostles, as we've already said. But they were still sent from God with a commission. They had a commission. The word sent in Greek is the word apostolo. Can anyone see the connection there to something else? The word apostolo. Very similar to apostolic, yes. So the word apostle comes from the word, from the Greek word sent. One who was sent off, which is what the word apostle means. So even though they're not apostles, the Lord appointed them and sent them out with a commission. That commission was to represent the Lord. Not only were they sent by him, but they were sent before him to prepare the way for his coming. Just look at the last three words here. They went ahead of him, two by two. So they've gone before him to prepare the land, prepare the way. And doesn't this look like the church? The Lord has appointed us, sent us, and commissioned us to represent him. And one day he will come back. Jesus is going to take his bride home. That's all of us, and yes, us men, we will wear a dress. He will take his bride. And that is you and me. And we are called to represent Jesus to the world. We are called to let our light shine. We are called to share the gospel. We are called to tell people about who Jesus is. We are called to represent him to the world. And we are called to prepare the ground for his second coming. So when I read these 24 verses, as I've already said, I see the church. I see us. We are appointed, as I said, we are sent and we are commissioned to represent Jesus before his arrival. This is you, this is me, this is us. And we need to do this well, because God doesn't have a plan B, we are his plan A. We need to do this well. So we need to do everything that we can to reach the world, which is part of the reason why we have and are still are upgrading this building. Because we are trying to reach the world. To emphasize this point, just look at 1 Samuel 16, 6 to 7. And this is where Saul has failed to be king. And Solomon is out looking for his replacement, and Jesus and God sends them out to Jesse's house. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. First things first, what is most important is the heart, is what goes on in the heart. Do we love God? Do we love people? Do we look after each other? And yes, but let's not forget the other thing. The world, those people around us, they look at outward appearance. They look at what the world looks at. All that you might want as a church is a place where you feel safe, in a family environment where you can connect with God. And trust me, that is what we want as a church too. But stop for a minute and think about the world. If we are going to be like the 70 and live out what the Lord has commissioned us to do, then we need to do things to attract the world. Or else they'll just go somewhere else. But anyway, I do digress a little bit. Let's get back to our verse. We are like the 70. We are appointed, we are sent, and we are commissioned to represent Jesus before his coming. Now, the reason why I believe it is 70 and not 72, I know most of you are thinking, who cares? And that's a good point as well. But just as the 12 apostles were associated in number with the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 and also the 12 tribes of Israel, the 70 are associated with the 70 nations listed in Genesis 10. Feel free to look it up in your own time. It's kind of like reading a phone book, but go for gold. And this is when the earth is being repopulated after the flood. So the earth is being repopulated. So it's kind of like God wants to populate the earth with his message. He wants the whole earth to know, which is why I believe 70 is important. And John Wesley says this about it. It was a symbolic way of saying Jesus wants the message spread to all. He wants the whole earth to know. He wants everyone. Jesus doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants the whole earth to hear the gospel. And just like he commissioned the 70, he is commissioning his church. Now, for these 70 people, it was a difficult calling. Look at verse 2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Their job was difficult. It was hard work. Our job is also difficult. Harvesting is hard work, even with many helpers. But these men were sent into a vast field with few workers. Just like us, we're sent out to a vast field with few workers. But Jesus tells them, instead of praying for an easier job, instead of praying for an easier life, he says, pray for more workers to join you. And we need to today pray the same prayer. We need to not pray for an easy life, but we need to pray for more workers to come alongside us, more people who are willing to do the job. And remember, it is laborers, not spectators. You are not meant to just sit back and pray for more workers while you are working. That is when you pray, not while you're sitting in a lazy boy chair. So it is a difficult task. Our role as a church is a difficult one. It is hard work. As we and as they invaded enemy territory, they would be like lambs amongst wolves. But as long as we rely on the Lord, we will win the battle. Now, I'm not going to talk about this much, but Satan doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want us to. Therefore, he is always looking for ways to stop us from doing that which we are called to do. We need to be aware of this because the very fact that you're a Christian means that you are his enemy. So you need to be aware of this. Now, as he sent out these 70, he gave them 10 instructions. And let's look at these instructions, and I will go through it pretty quickly. Firstly, he told them to go. This is important because it's your choice. You don't actually have to go. It's your choice whether or not you do go. And he also sent them out in pairs. And this is a sign of accountability. We need to be accountable and do things in numbers. Number two is be wary, which I've already talked about. Number three is live by faith. They were to rely on Jesus and were not to carry any extra bags. We too are meant to rely on Jesus. Number four, be focused. They were to greet no one along the road and were not to allow themselves to become sidetracked. This shows how important evangelism is. In us as a church, we shouldn't be sidetracked by gimmicks or what's on TV. We should be focused and do what we're called to do. Number five, extend your blessing. Whoever housed the 70 were to be blessed, and whoever were to reject were to be cursed, because they are rejecting Christ. So it's a big thing to be his ambassadors. And if they reject you, they're not rejecting you, but they're rejecting Christ. Number seven, receive your due. A laborer is worthy of his wages. Number eight, be flexible. For 70 were to eat whatever they were served. This is quite important because sometimes we might be asked to go into a house that we don't want to go to because they might live a bit differently. But be flexible, they are still children of God. Heal the sick. Give it a go. You know, we have exactly the same anointing on us that the 70 had. And just give it a go. If somebody is sick, don't be too afraid and actually pray for them. You just never know what might happen. Number 10, last one, proclaim the kingdom. The message of the 70 was simple. The kingdom of God has come near to you. And this was a clear-cut call to faith in Christ Jesus. This is how we too must proclaim his kingdom. It's just a clear-cut call to faith. So the 70 went out before Christ. They prepared the land and they followed his example. And therefore they had great success. Verse 17. The 70 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." The 70 disciples went out and had great success. And we can totally understand the joy, can't we? Whenever we succeed at something for Christ, it fills us with joy. Whenever we're successful. So it is understandable that these disciples are filled with joy. And we read on. He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." These three scriptures that are on the screen describes how these 70 are finding joy in service. They are finding joy in finding their purpose. We understand that joy. We all have a purpose in Christ. And when we are living out our purpose, we will experience the same joy. After all, don't we all want to be useful for Christ? Is it something we all want to be? But amongst all the celebration, they were quick to give God praise. In verse 17 says, "The demons submit to us in your name." They were careful to give God all the glory. And we must too. When we have succeeded at something, we need to be quick at giving him the glory. Because these things can't be done on our own. Strength only in Christ, and we fall into dangerous territory when we forget that. Then Jesus carries on. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, these disciples didn't know that. They didn't know what happened in the heavenlies. They didn't know that Satan fell. These disciples had no clue. They did what they were commanded to do. God sent them out and they fulfilled their calling. They knew that they were part of something amazing, but they had no clue to the extent of it. So they knew they were part of something big and they were doing a good work, but they had no clue to the extent of it. You go and you represent Christ to someone, and it might feel like it's landing on deaf's ears. And just maybe God is doing something that you can't see, or he is preparing the ground for someone else to come along and reap that reward. You just don't know. So even though you're not seeing any fruit, if you think that what you're doing is unimportant or minuscule, just keep doing it. Because every single victory is important to Christ, no matter how small it may appear. But Satan won't give up. He won't quit. And this is why Jesus encouraged them that even though this preaching journey was over, that the Lord has given them authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. This authority that they experienced, they still had long after their journey, and we still have it today. Verse 20 says this, however, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This brings us to a second joy. And remember, the first joy was the joy of service, where our life finds purpose in doing things. Remember, this is the theme of this chapter, as this chapter answers, what on earth does a Christian do? So first, joy of service. And the second joy is salvation. As wonderful as the victory was, Jesus was quick to caution them, and he reminds them that the greatest joy is that their names are written in heaven. How many times in life have we tried to make it onto lists? Sports teams, social teams, we tried to get on the in the crowd. How many times have we been at school and the captain chooses one team and the other captain chooses the other and we're the last one? We'd make it on the list, but not quite. But Jesus says, you know what? I will put you on my list. There's a kingdom waiting. There's a father who loves you. There's an eternal inheritance, and I'm building a place for you. You can die and rise and stand before the living God, and he will look at you and say, you are on my list. And God doesn't take anyone off his list. And he loves everybody who is put on his list, who he has put on his list. So as great as all these miracles were, the casting out of demons, the healing of the sick, as great as all these miracles were, salvation of a lost soul is still the greatest. So rejoice, church, you are on his list. But wait, there is still more, just like those infomercial ads. Buy one for the price of two. There is still more. We rejoice because we can serve. We rejoice because we have salvation. But thirdly, we find Jesus rejoicing. At that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal it. It is not often that we hear Jesus rejoicing, but here he is. And as you read these words, you can almost hear him shouting with hands raised, "Praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." You can almost hear him shouting it out. He is happy. He is full of joy. And only that, but we see the Trinity in this opening verse. Because we see Jesus, the Son of God, is rejoicing through the Holy Spirit because of the will of the God, the Father. And that is the Trinity at work. So the 70 returned from their missionary journey, and Jesus turned to his Father and gives them a joyful thanks because he has hidden the message of the wise and revealed it to children. Now, as I have already said in the message, the 70 are just like you and me, fishermen and tax collectors. And Jesus is rejoicing because God revealed the message to simple people. As I have already said, we are just like the 70. We are simple people doing simple everyday works, everyday things. And please don't get offended by the word simple. I'm not calling us simple, by the way. This is good news because if the gospel message was limited to only the wisest people, most of the people in the world would be shut out of his kingdom. Therefore, the gospel message stretches out to every single human being. And this is why Jesus is rejoicing. The gospel is not limited by wealth, position, or society. It's not limited by wisdom. In fact, the way of the cross is foolishness. 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, for he may lift you up in due time." Before God lifts you up, you need to humble yourself under his lordship. Look to Christ for salvation. When you come to Christ, humbly and through that, you will learn more about who you are in him. The more you know about Christ, the more you know about who you are. As John the Baptist said, "He must increase, that I must decrease." And this brings us to another question. What is hidden? That Jesus is speaking about here. What is hidden? And what has he made known to little children? Verse 22 says, "No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." What is kept hidden is the knowledge of who Jesus is as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The only chance that you have in knowing who the Father is through the Son, is by knowing who Jesus is. So you can only come to God through the Son. And this is foolishness. It's that upside down kingdom where the first will be last and the last will be first. Where the King of Kings wasn't born in a palace, but he was born in a manger. Where we are told that if an enemy strikes you on your cheek, you are to give him your other cheek. Where you don't seek revenge, but you pray for those who hurt you. And you love those who hurt you. It's that upside down kingdom. That strange, weird way of thinking. This is where wisdom won't get you into heaven, but only faith in Christ. This is where the lowly, those that are broken for Jesus, gets lifted up, and those that are proud get humbled. This is that backwards, upside down kingdom. And this is what was hidden from the wise. Hidden from the proud, but open to all those that will become fools and live with a recognition that they can't do anything without Christ. This is that upside down world. Where the world says, "You are your own king. You are in charge of your own destiny. But the gospel says, you should pick up your cross and follow me. You must deny yourself and seek his will first. It's that upside down kingdom. It doesn't make sense to the world. And it doesn't make sense. But it is foolishness, and it does. It makes sense to the foolishness. But there is a promise within all of us in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things given to you as well. If you make God number one, he will look after you. And this is what makes Jesus rejoice. This is what makes him celebrate. Because this opens up the kingdom of God to everybody. No one is excluded. The fact that all that Jesus wants from us is to be close to him, and he will take you as you are. Luke 6:37, which is my final verse. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and all who ever comes to me, I will never drive away. The first joy was service. The second joy was salvation, and the third joy is the sovereignty of God. That this gospel message is free for everyone. It's free for all. And once your name is written in this book, it is there forever. Can I have the music team up, please? I'm hoping this gives you good news, because you don't have to be a certain person to enter his kingdom. You just have to be you. And God wants to take everybody as they are. When you're talking to somebody, no matter how dirty they might seem, God is there to clean them up. God will accept them. God will accept you just as you are.
Please stand as we sing All Hail King Jesus.